My name is Carlos Boy. I'm 49. Today is Wednesday, November the 6th, 2019. The location is Dallas, Texas. The name of the interview partner is Mia Raquel. Relationship to the partner, Carlos Moore, correct?
Hi, I'm Mia Raquel. I am 24 years old. Today is Wednesday, November 6, 2019. I'm in Dallas, Texas, here with Carlos Moore, and he is my new friend. So I think we're here today to talk about your family history. So why don't you start by telling me where you grew up and about your family?
Yes, I grew up in a little town called Kilgore, Texas, about an hour and a half from Dallas East, hour from Shreveport, Louisiana, about 15,000 people in the town. I'm one of six siblings, and my family history down there is over 150 years. Mm-hmm. And so I wanted to talk about how beautiful a place Kilgore was. We're known for our oil down there. As a matter of fact, the Pickens family is known in the United States for oil. And at one time, Kilgore had the richest acre in the early 1900s in the world. We have Kilgore Oil Museum. I'm an alumni of Kilgore College, where I played basketball there. And my team was retired there about 2 years ago. But I want to talk a little about my history in Kilgore. Very strong family. Just great, loving parents, grandparents, aunts, uncles. Worked hard, working class family. Like I said, when I was young, I remember in Mitchell Quarters, little area where we grew up, where probably about 25 homes, my whole family owned that, about 10 acres down there. So we were there, and occasionally my great aunt used to keep us when I was about seven. And I recall her teaching us Hebrew. And, you know, when you're young, you're running around and playing, and every day we would go over there while my parents would work. So she would teach us some words. I remember one of the songs we used to sing was Kumbaya. And it means, in English, when you understand that, it means come by here. Yeah. You know, hallelujah, kumbaya. And so I just kind of took that and throughout my years really didn't try to learn more about it. As I got older and I ventured out, and after college, I got a chance to go over to Europe and play professional basketball in the early 90s in Berlin, Germany, and I expressed and see Deutsch, learn how to speak German. Beautiful place. Was excited because I know my father fought in the Second War, and he was in Berlin, Checkpoint Charlie, so that history was exciting. But when I was over there, I got a chance to meet some people from Ghana and Nigeria, and we were pretty close. We lived in the same duplex, you know, in apartments, and they would apologize to me as we got closer, and I never did understand that. I'm in my early 20s, you know, enjoying Berlin and playing professional, and got a chance to work for the Army, working with the youth over there. That was exciting, but I never understood why they were apologizing to me. So probably in 2005, I met someone who kind of educated me on challenged me to start doing some research on the history and everything like that. And their apology was that they were participated in the transatlantic slave trade. Their ancestors did and everything. So that was just so unique, you know, to understand them telling me that. And I didn't understand it then. And that was like in 93, 94. I was 23, 24, you know, young, not focusing on it. But as I got older, I'm 49 now. So in 2005, my friend Ben, he kind of started, said, hey, you need to do the research and see why they said that. He knew something I didn't know. So I did, and I realized and connected it when I was young, 7 years old. And my great aunt, they learned it from their grandparents. So you're talking 400 years, four generations and everything. So I kind of put it that together. And then I was understanding in last year of January, President Trump, he signed H.R. 1242, which commemorates the slaves coming over here in 1619. And so I said, wow, that's almost interesting that my great aunt had learned that from her grandparents, you know. So I connected me being the fourth generation. And then my friend, he opened the Bible up and showed me in Deuteronomy 28:68, where it says, the Lord thy God shall bring you into Egypt again with ships. I said, wow, that's how we got over here, you know. And that was interesting for me because I never understood why on the back of the $1 bill there was a pyramid. I always was curious about that. And so doing the research, realized that America is considered spiritual Egypt when you understand the pyramid and everything, you know, synonymous for it. And so, like I said, I done the research and realized in 2005 when my friend Ben challenged me, I said, wow, America is considered Egypt. You know, I said, and to finish that up, it says the Lord thy God should bring you to Egypt again with ships. By the way, I speak of thee. Y'all shall see it no more. And when I was in college, the research, you know, that we were doing and things that I didn't know the history from slavery till now, I never could find that research. And so I started doing research. I was curious. After 2005, I said, wow, I need to go and start doing the research and try to understand that, because I did put it together that, you know, with the modern time, the H.R. 1242 that was passed, the 400 years. And then my descendants of my ancestors, we came here in 1619. So you got 400 years. And then I connected it with my aunt. She learning Hebrew as well. You know, we came over here in 1619. Jamestown, Virginia was the first place, first slaves that got here and everything. So you have 400 years. And then Deuteronomy 28. Explains Egypt, how we got here. And I connected and I said, wow, that's so interesting. And now when you come, you're talking about a Bible 2,000 plus years old. And I connected that. And so Revelation 11 and 8 also shows in 2015, President Obama, he passed a law where a man can marry a man. And so that scripture quote saying that the dead bodies mean spiritually dead, meaning I can explain that my great aunt, she was called Negro on her birth certificate. Her daughter was called colored. Her daughter, you know, would be the age of my mother, was called black. And then on my birth certificate, it has African American. So throughout the years, it was being changed. And so I just was intrigued by that, that I could, you know, physically see it and identify to why our nationality changing every so often like that. And so my conclusion was that when I read Revelations 11 and 8, it said the dead bodies, meaning spiritually dead, should be great in the cities of Sodom and Egypt. So now in all 50 states, a man can marry a man, a woman can marry a woman. And I had realized in Deuteronomy 28, America was spiritual Egypt. So you're talking about a book written back so long ago. And then in the modern time, President Obama passed the law. So I said, wow, America is that place. And I can connect the dots that my ancestors, you know, in my history in my studies to that the Bible was talking about us, because I didn't know that, you know. Mm-hmm. I didn't learn it in college. I didn't learn it in school, but I traveled the world, you know, with my work in finance, and got a chance to do some detailed research. And so that's why I'm here, and I'm excited and ecstatic to know that, you know, to know really about my history. And it's just a, like a light that has gone on in my head, you know.
Yeah, I can only imagine that if you didn't. Well, so I want to ask a couple clarifying questions. So your great aunt was teaching you Hebrew. So I'm wondering if you can explain what the connection is between that, because are there members of your family that were Jewish, or how did the Hebrew come to be a part of the family history?
Yes. That was the language. See, you have to understand a little bit about the history when we got here. We weren't allowed to read and write. You know, if you realize some of the movies that depict that time, they stripped us down and took our identity from us, and we didn't know who we were. So it's just unique and ironic. As a matter of fact, I could show the research I did. The oldest African-American church in Macon, Georgia, the slaves that built it, and it's almost 200-some years, it's up in the top part. It's written in Hebrew. So, you know, my research of the Hebrew, and I was curious about that, because when I was in Germany, I didn't know why the Africans were apologizing. And they explained to me, they said, listen, we rounded you up and we participated in the transatlantic slave trade in 1619 and everything. And now you have the YouTube is so phenomenal with all the information that's out there, the internet, you know, you can literally do the research. So, like I said, I never did do the research then when I was young, but now I'm 49 and I connected the dots. I said, wow, when you read the Bible, it's talking about someone. And I never learned it from my family. You know, we didn't know, you know, because again, we started kind of waking up now, you know, with my research. I started educating my kids about certain things that we didn't get in school. You know, the family didn't know and everything. And then you do a Jeremiah 17 and 14 talks about that we were going to come to a place and not know who we are. And that's why I said, like, I have a lot of friends from Germany. They can go to their history where they started. And we couldn't do that. We cannot. I can't tell you anything in this time now. I can't even tell you anything from 1619. I could not tell you. Right. And so that was unique. And there is a Zionary Bible Dictionary. It talks about Ham, you know, the three sons, Joplin, Ham, and Shem. And what I was taught through school and, you know, some of the research, that we was from Ham, but we're not from Ham, we're from Shem. Ham was the progenitor father of the dark races. That's what the title says when you do the research, but it says not of the Negroes. And so that research that I've done, it says in that, you know, in the Zionary Dictionary Bible book, it talks about Ham, and it says Ham was the father of the dark races, the Ethiopian, the Egyptians, the Canaanites, but not the Negroes. Mm-hmm. And when you do the research on our history, we're the only ones that called Negroes. Mm. And then a little more research I did, the maps in Africa, when they changed them, before the transatlantic slave trade, they had a little area called Negro Land. But now, in the modern time, you can't see that mm-hmm. and everything. And so I connected the dot that some of my research during the 70 AD, the Jews were ran out by the Romans, and they fled into Africa on the West Coast. In my research in the last 10 years, that's how we ended up on the West Coast. And then I was able to understand why the people that I met in Europe and Germany was apologizing to me, because they was rounding us up on the West Coast of Africa. And, you know, we got here, and I lived in Trinidad, Tobago. I've done some research and know some of the histories. And I lived in Santiago de Chile also. So I know the ships went to those places. And it was just ironic that I was able to do that research and know about it. And so that's how I was able to kind of bring it full circle. You know, like I said, wow, you know, it's kind of for so many years, I did not think about my great aunt teaching me that. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, living in Europe and some of the people say, you don't know who you are. Mm. You don't know who you are, you know. And so
yeah. Then
to have some of my African friends apologize to me and like, well, I said, wow, this is a beautiful thing, you know. I realized that my real nationality is I'm an Israelite and from the tribe Judah, means the lion. And then when you do the research in the Bible, it shows who Judah is. Judah is he's the lion, you know, of the 12 tribes. And the progenitor father was Jacob, which was changed to Israel. And so that's how I started connecting it to the Bible, to see like who are they talking about in the Bible that fit the curses. Because when you go to Deuteronomy, the 28th chapter, it shows you all the curses, you know, in there. Like if you understand some of the struggles with the African Americans, we fit those curses. That's what I started kind of dawned on me. I said, wow, this matches who we are, you know, and everything. But that's something that, like, you know, going to school, didn't learn it. Mm-hmm. Even growing up with my grandmother being married to a preacher, he never talked to me about that, you know, mm-hmm. that he went to a theological school, and he never told me that. And so in the last 7 years, I've really been doing a lot of research mm-hmm. to know, to connect it and say, wow, the Bible's talking about us, because that's been the one secret, the one thing that behooved me that I did never know about. And so now I'm just kind of like not even sleeping. I'm so excited to know, you know, how you just discover something so beautiful like that. And then when you read Hebrews 7 and 14, it talks about Christ. And you know where it says he's from? He's from the tribe of Judah. Then when you go to Revelations 1, 13 to 15, they said his head was like wool. Well, I have woolly hair. They said his eyes were red as flame. They said his skin was like bronze, like it burned in a furnace. And I'm saying, wow. You know, like I can tell you, like in my teenage years, I struggled with so much growing in Kilgore, you know, because I grew up here in Dallas in Pleasant Grove area. I really just kind of I really just was excited about that I found that information out about who I am, and struggling in my teenage years, you know, because I grew up in Pleasant Grove, and it was a predominantly black area. Then I moved down to Kilgore, and I was called the N-word, and I struggled in school because, you know, like the teacher. I remember one great opportunity, my grandma, I told her what happened in the lunch line. The teacher made us get in the back, all the African-American students. So I said to her, she came up there during the lunch hour, and it was beautiful because she confronted Mrs. Burns, who we used to, my grandmother had a paper route, so she threw all the papers there. So she came and said, listen, Mrs. Burns, you can't do that. You don't make kids feel a certain way. You know, she knew her because they had a little corner store we used to patronize and throw papers. She knew Miss Burns. And Miss Burns was my English teacher, so I never liked English after that. But my grandmother came and told her, you don't treat kids any kind of way. Mm. You treat them all the same. And that's how she raised us. And so that was a really nice moment. But I struggled with a lot of things, a lot of questions I had. And to be where I am in 2019, to know what I know, to understand so much about myself now, that's a beautiful thing, you know, I cherish. And, you know, I had some wonderful friends in Europe. When I lived in Germany and Belgium and Amsterdam for a little bit. And then, you know, traveling and living in Trinidad, living in Mexico, Canada, Chile, just meeting just wonderful people. And, you know, I'm excited now because I know some things that I didn't know about myself.
Yeah.
And so now I said, hey, as long as I have life in my body, I'm going to tell that truth here. So that's why I'm here to talk about.
Yeah, that. I can imagine that as a fully formed adult, it must be kind of this light turning on for you to figure these things out. I'm curious. I have two questions. I'm curious if you have any like living ancestors. Like, I don't know if your mother is still alive or anybody that you've been able to talk about this with.
Yeah.
And then my second question is, let's see. Well, answer that one first and let's see if the one comes back to me.
Well, you know, I lost my mother about 3.5 years ago.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah. And, that was hard because I traveled, you know, but, I feel good because, you know, I had a wonderful relationship with her, and she was a beautiful, strong woman, and she taught us how to love ourselves and taught us how to work hard, you know. And I lost my dad when I was 16, you know, and so, but we lost her 3.5 years, and I wish I could tell her that, you know, like the strong women that I had in my life, you know, my aunt, she died in 2005, my grandmother passed. All of the other ones, you know, that raised us, they're no longer here. But, you know, I'm making sure that I pass that information down to all of my nieces and nephews and my kids, you know, because like I said, to know that information now, that
it's powerful.
I had no clue on any of that. And that's just like, I'm telling you, I don't even sleep. I'm so excited because that light is on. And you know, when you know who you are and where you come from, you know where you're going, you know. And that's what I said, like, because the history of the Israelites, when you understand from Egypt to, you know, the Syrians, the Babylonians, you know, the Greece, the Romans, they built nations. You know, and that's why I just try to encourage the kids to kind of do their research. You know, I said, listen, don't believe what I say. Do the research.
That was actually a nice segue into my next question, was going to be, how have you been doing this research? Kind of what resources are you drawing from? I mean, you've talked about the Bible quite a bit, but how has it been piecing together this puzzle? Like, what have you been doing to do that?
I've been able to, like, there are so many books that I go to the library and artifacts of some of the things that have occurred. I've had some friends, you know, from Africa that can collaborate their role. Like I have some friends from Congo here and from Zimbabwe. Right now, I was put on the African Union Committee. It's just ironic that they chose me. I'm a part of Region 6 Diaspora, which is kind of helping me get some information from that perspective, you know, to understand the African knowledge that comes with that, you know, and everything. And then I have some Jewish friends that have talked to me about some things, you know, and everything. And so I've pretty much just been just coming to the library when I have some free time to just do the research on some of the monuments that are in Virginia. You know, they have a monument up there It's not Jamestown, but it's near Jamestown. And there is a sign that shows it has Israelites literally written on there, you know, 250 acres that they, city that they developed and everything. And it's just doing the research and everything. I've been able to get some data from the Library of Congress. Some of the Congress signed some forms back then, and it had Israelite there. But you have to really do the research to know. And then it's beautiful because a lot of the other African Americans that I met, they've done the research as well, substantially. I have a great organization that I work with on Facebook, and we have some people that are experts in history. And so I've got to know them. Mm-hmm. They're giving me some great artifacts, you know, on to kind of make me understand. So, like I said, I'm excited. I think eventually I want to do a memoir and tie it all together. Mm. That's my goal, you know, mm-hmm. just to get with some professionals and do a memoir, maybe some videos, you know, to talk about that. Yeah.
What do you think would have happened if you never went to Berlin and your friends there didn't apologize? Do you think you still would have wanted to know this history? Was that like, yeah, do you think that was like the pivotal moment, or do you think you would have connected to it otherwise?
I think that triggered something in me that intrigued me, because, you know, I just said, why are they apologizing? I don't understand that. You know, when I didn't know back then, like, for me, I thought it, like, I was just, I couldn't tell you which area from Africa that I, you know, my ancestors passed to. I didn't know that, you know. And so that was interesting. That just, I'm going to start digging a little further now, you know, because, like I said, that was something that triggered something in me. And I said, oh, wow. So now I need to kind of, and I'm excited because, you know, I have some historian mm-hmm. that have that data to show.
Right.
And talk about the 70 AD, how they were chased out. And that's how they ended up in the West Coast. Mm. And that's where we were rounded up, you know. So
yeah.
You can connect the history with that, you know. Like, I've just kind of lit the light up in me to do that. And then, wow, you know, like growing up in the church and not understanding the Old Testament, you know, because it's kind of like wasn't taught. It was just like, because like that information wasn't taught, I didn't know. And so I took it on myself to start reading and understanding it. And then it all made sense mm-hmm. to me. You know, I said, wow. That's why, like, when it came to me, my aunt teaching me Hebrew, it was just like it was stored there. Mm-hmm. And then when the gentleman apologized to me, it just kind of turned on the light. And I said,
right.
Going to Berlin, you know, and one of my good friends, he died when I was 18. He was supposed to go to the army over there. And about 2 months before he left, he drowned after our high school mm-hmm. graduation. And so it was just like life sometimes, I think, works out. Mm-hmm. I went on his behalf.
Yeah.
I went there, and it was just really unique because my friend played over there. And he said, hey, you want to go play some basketball in Germany? I didn't think about it.
Yeah.
I just did it. And right now my son is, he plays on the German national team. I got a chance to work with Dirk Nowitzki over there, you know, who just retired from the Dallas Mavericks. He's German.
Okay. I was going to ask about your kids and the role that you play in kind of facilitating this knowledge with them and encouraging them to do their own research? Are they interested in this, or?
Yes, they are very much interested. Christopher, he's 25 now. And he plays on the German national team. And he's a business person. My daughter, Alexandra, they went to the John F. Kennedy School in Berlin, and I had a great working relationship there when I played basketball. I used to kind of do clamps and clinics for kids to give back. And, you know, Berlin has so much history over there, you know, and they love that aspect of it, you know. I eventually want to probably set up a foundation. My daughter Carly here, she also is intrigued, you know, at her age. She'll be 15 this year. So they were like, wow, Dad, you know, you just, this is some history that, you know, they're not getting to school. So I'm just trying to apply that to them so they can know who they are and have that history, you know, and everything. Just like I have a lot of friends from Mexico, and one of my friends, he just passed, and Mayans, they're part of the tribe of Israel as well. And I had a chance to tell my friend Gonzalo, who passed about 3 months ago. I told his family that, and after the funeral, they came and was his grandkids, because he was 80 years old. And they came and hugged me, and they were intrigued by that. And, you know, Ishtikar means hard worker. So the Mexicans are hard workers, you know. You know, I know some of the names of the original names that when you start doing the research, you can connect the dots and everything, because like I said, like there were 18 nations, the biblical names, and so you have to go back and do your research. Just like the Africans' original name are the Hamanites. My is the Israelites. The Japanese are the Ammonites. You know, the Chinese are the Moabites. The Arabs are the Ishmaelites. That's just an example of some things that you can do the research on, you know, and see it connects to their history, their cultures, and everything. And so that void for me was filled, you know, like not knowing that from Africa, you know, and to now add that component there to connect the dots, you know, with my research and some of the books and everything. And like I said, I'm going to make sure I put up a website. And it's just a beautiful thing to know who you are, you know, and to be able to spread that beautiful news, you know, and everything. And I encourage young kids to, you know, do their research. I encourage anyone to do their research and, you know their history. That's exciting for me, you know. Like I said, I don't even sleep. I'd stay up, and I'm like a sponge, you know. Anything I can learn, I saw. I'm going out to do that, to learn everything I can and to spread it and give things that we didn't know about ourselves, you know, an identity. That's why I'm here, to tell my story now, you know, and appreciative for this opportunity to come in. And just life right now at 49, I'm enjoying it. Passion about it. Passion about spreading that information and growing up in a church and then not learning things there, you know, like some of the things that was deliberately not taught, and you know, learning, going to Bible study, but understanding now at my older stage in my life, 49, when I was young, it was just some things in the Bible that they weren't being taught, because it would open up to explaining some of the history and the artifacts that connect to that, to who I am, you know. So it was kind of like a by design. Not to, you know, when you do a little research on the transatlantic slave trade, we couldn't read or write. And like our Sabbath is on Saturday. See, when you do the research in Espanol, sábado, see, Saturday is the Sabbath. And so it's a beautiful thing. It's like we used to wear fringes, like it tells us to remind us who we are. I used to eat pork. I stopped eating it when I started understanding my heritage and knowing that, like, the pig is called a swine in the Bible. I didn't know that, you know. When I was in Germany, Schwein, they say pig, Schwein. So I did the research and I said, oh, it's unclean. You ain't supposed to touch it. And a lot of the African Americans have high blood pressure, diabetes, because we eat unclean foods. And, you know, Leviticus talks about the diets, things that we're supposed to eat to stay healthy. And, you know, that's a wonderful thing for me because one of the hobbies I have, I'm going to set up a salmon fish farm with a garden and a bakery because my mother was a chef at Nemus Market for 15 years in Dallas. Between her and my grandmother, they taught me how to cook. Mm. So clean foods, you know, to promote jobs, healthy eating, and knowledge. Mm. That's where I am in my life, you know, and I'm ecstatic, you know. Mm. Like I said, I wish it was like 1,000 hours in a day, you know. It's not enough time. I don't sleep now because of just now with my position with the African Union Committee. We're going in the inner cities and we want to create jobs, you know, let people have access to capital, you know, promote entrepreneurship like in my family. I learned how to be an entrepreneur and everything. And of course, failing so many times till you eventually get it right, you know, and everything. So my life is just wonderful now because that knowledge that I have, no one can take it from me. And of course, I want to keep on spreading it. And I love meeting people. You know, I love traveling and learning different cultures. You know, I love cooking, you know, just love life. And sports played a vehicle for that completely. So now where I am now, I think the next thing is I really just want to kind of do a book, memoir, some videos, you know.
Yeah, it sounds like you have two really wonderful projects to give back to the community, especially kind of feeling lost in the community, and now you feel like you've found your identity, and so being able to give back to that must feel really amazing and very rewarding, and I hope that one day I can come eat at your clean food restaurant.
Oh, yeah, we have some vegan recipes as well, you know, so I would love to have you there, you know, and want to encourage people to kind of eat healthy, live healthy, and, you know, spread the love. Mm. It's life, you know, life is about what you give to it, you know, and everything. Learning from my mistakes, you know, that I made, and just growing every day, about growth, learning something new about myself, and giving back.
Yeah.
Before my time is up, you know, and I'm so forever indebted that my family, you know, they taught me how to love and how to treat people with respect, you know, regardless of their color, race, you know, religion, just deal with their character, you know, and everything, and try to elevate people, help people. Mm. And that was the one thing when I lived in Europe, that was beautiful for me, you know, getting over there and seeing how unique Berlin was. It's always special to me. And I got a chance to meet Alpha Nobel's great nephew, Dr. Michael Nobel, of the Nobel Peace Prize. And I remember being in Beverly Hills, speaking some German with him. And we were doing some renewable energy, you know, housing. And the next phase here is to kind of create jobs, you know, promote clean, healthy eating, let people have access to capital. I'm in the private banking now, and I see this just kind of evolving for me. So it's a beautiful time in my life.
Thank you so much, Carlos, for sharing with me today. I feel like I learned so much.
Thank you.